The sky is so starless. Baby, the sky is so starless. Baby, you got me growing heartless. So heartless, girl, it's starless. Starless, yeah, yeah, yeah. Welcome back to the Red Light Special. I'm Rob Markman, and I'm here with my co-host, Kristen Coro. Kristen, what's up?
What's up? What's up?
A lot of holiday traffic, huh? You had to battle that holiday traffic.
Yeah, the traffic is insane. But speaking of the holidays, this is our last episode of the year.
Yeah, our last episode of 2015. This is the first year that we've been doing it. We haven't been doing it a full year yet because we started in about May.
Right.
But, yo, we love y'all for riding with us. Like, when we first started, we just wanted to do something dedicated to R&B, something dedicated to the music, not so much the gossip. Like, what were you thinking when you wrote that? How you hit those notes? Like, how'd you make that? Like, you know, those are the type of stuff that we want to know as real fans, and it's resonated with y'all because y'all support us every week, so we appreciate you for that.
I just can't wait for the next year. I feel like we haven't been doing this a full year, and to see everything progress and continue to grow, you know, the audience that listens to us, our Apple event, all of our guests and the artists, and I feel like we have a lot of good things coming for 2016.
Well, I can't even look past 2016 because I don't know how we're going to top this episode here.
It'll be really hard.
We've been waiting a long time for this one, so I'm going to get into it. I try to prepare like a really fitting intro for this next guest.
Yep.
You know, shout out to Sway. I learned this from Sway, so I'm going to try to get my Sway on right now.
Got to. All right.
This week's guest, our last guest of 2015, hails from College Park. What up, Atlanta? She started as a teen back in 1995 when she dropped her number one debut single, Don't Take It Personal. But it didn't stop there. Since then, she's grown to one of the leaders and the defining voices for this generation of R&B artists. You know her from Before You Walk Out of My Life. You know her from Why I Love You So Much. Maybe you know her from this song, this little song called The Boy Is Mine. I mean, there was Angel of Mine, So Gone, Everything to Me, You Should Have Known Better. Her latest, Just Right For Me, her eighth album, Code Red, is in stores right now. So, ladies and gentlemen, I need you to give it up for Miss Thang. Monica, welcome to the Red Light Special.
Good job. Good job. Intro game me.
Listen, I still got to get the Sway level. I just give me another year. I'll be right there. I'm working on it.
2016 goals.
Hey, first of all, thank you for being with us. Welcome to New York. How you been?
Thank you for having me. We've been here since the tour ended here at Gramercy.
Yeah.
That was the last show of the tour. I mean, not the last show, period, because I performed tonight in Newark at the Prudential Center. Okay. So, but that was the end of the tour, so that was a big thing. We hit 22 cities in a really short amount of time, like less than 4 weeks.
Okay. It's like you took it back to the old school a little bit, like when you know first rhyme.
I'm glad you noticed. I took it back to the old school. That's why I pushed the release date back and made it the 18th, which is today, shockingly enough. But we pushed it back because I thought about it. I'm like, for all these years, we went out. People really knew and understood the artist that they loved. Now you can hear a song and know it word for word. You have no clue who sings it. You don't know what they look like. And that's just a feeling I don't like because I make music for the people. I never got in this. You got to think, I was signed at 12 years old. I didn't get in this thinking about the politics, the monetary gain. I didn't think about any of that stuff. Everything was simply about the music. So we scaled it back and made this whole record and this whole process of touring, made it just simply about the music again.
Okay. Is that how? Because look, eight albums deep, this is your eighth album. You've been in it 20 years. I feel like I grew up with you as I grew up as a man and coming into this industry. You grew up as a woman and a artist and an entertainer. Almost 20 years deep, and it still sounds fresh. Like, you listen to Code Red, like, it still sounds fresh. Like, it ain't nothing about it. Sometimes 20 years deep, like, artists might sound tired. And we know when even your favorite artist sounds tired, it sounds fresh. Like, what's your secret?
I always took time for myself and my family. I think that a lot of people, they don't ever want to so-called lose their slot. But I'm just a firm believer that what's yours is yours, and there's no such thing as a slot. You know, as music evolves, there'll be different people that are popular, but that doesn't undo the history and the records that I broke as a child, even as a teenager. So I'm not competing with other people. I don't have an issue with stepping away and saying, hey, you know what? I just had a daughter. I'm going to spend a year or two doing nothing but being her mommy. Or when I had the boys, I took 4 years off, and everybody said that was the kiss of death. That was the exact words used to me when I came to the office. And I just didn't feel nothing that they said penetrated. I knew in my heart it was the right thing to do. And so Still Standing after the break ended up being one of my biggest records ever. Uh-huh. So you can't listen to what they say. You got to know within your heart what's really supposed to happen and what you're supposed to be doing. And that's just something that I don't know how I've always had it, but even at 12, I've had that.
Right. So, that's Chris, amazing. You had a question?
I wanted to ask you just the album, right, Code Red, and then you also did the tour for 4 weeks that you toured with Rico Love.
Yes.
The Code Red Experience. Mm-hmm. What's the meaning behind the title of the album and the obviously what led to the tour name?
Well, Code Red, for me, what I tried to figure out is, what's a way that you can just say, man, I used to always say, R&B is in such a state of emergency. Like, do you not realize that it's a genre that can become extinct if it continues the way that it is right now?
Yeah.
And who would want music that we grew up on, music that we fell in love to, dealt with heartbreaks to? We got over tragedies and we celebrated triumphs to R&B music. It's songs that I can think of right now that are 20 years old. I know exactly where I was. Or if you think about Just One of Them Days, it's 20. You know where you were. You know where you lived. You know what you did. That timeless music is something I wanted to bring back. So when I was sleeping on, how do you bring awareness to this and say, you know, this music is almost extinct. Are y'all cool with that? And I woke up one day and Code Red, I don't know, it was almost like I just woke up and Jesus just handed the title to me or something. That's how it felt. And then I said, you know, I'll go even a step further. That's when I dyed my hair red.
Wow.
And it's no way to ignore those two parts of it. Right. So maybe that'll help guide them to the message of what I'm saying.
It's interesting because we had R. Kelly on the show several months back, and he used those exact words. I was like, what do you think the state of R&B is? And he said, I think it's in a state of emergency.
Word,
you know,
for word.
Code Red. Like, and it's just so funny. What do you feel like? Because you have songs like, and I'm going to skip around. I was going to get to this later in the interview, but you have songs like I Miss Music.
Yeah.
Which kind of sounds like how R&B used to sound. It's definitely a new sound and it's new changing. How do you feel like the new sound and the pressure to fit in? Because on I Miss Music, you just start off, I miss Michael and Whitney and Tina and James.
I get straight to the point. Their attention span is short. So if they even go to look up each name that I name, that's a musical history lesson right there. Go look these people up. Look at the difference. Because I always say this. Some artists are frustrated with the music now. I'm not frustrated with the music now at all. I'm from Atlanta. I like all that. My husband training the Jeezy Future. I'm on the album. You know, I am hip hop as well. My very first record was over backseat of my Jeep, a swinging episode. That is just one of them days. So to me, you just need both.
Yeah.
I'm not saying one or the other. I'm saying that you need the balance of this kind of music where I'm saying things like I miss music or I know where you talk about love and finding love and letting go of the past and all the baggage that comes with it. Or, you know, I'm speaking to our lives and our everyday truths. So you need that in the midst of the turn up. Just make sure it's, you know, evenly acknowledged.
Right. Nah, that makes perfect sense. Speaking of music, like, Chris, I know we were talking about one of her inspirations, right?
I do want to ask you because I feel like you've mentioned it a few times more than once, but Smokey Robinson.
Yeah.
How big of an inspiration has he been in your life personally and musically?
He's a huge inspiration. I mean, clearly he created almost all of the music in that time frame that he really was as an active writer and producer and singer and entertainer. He still was a family man. He balanced all the things that I aspire to balance every day. So that has always been there. But I think I really fell in love with his persona and personality, and it's so him. It never changes no matter where you see him. I can see him on the red carpet or call him on a cell phone. You get the same Smokey. And nowadays, these artists, you see them on a Monday, they love you. You see them on a Friday. They act like they don't see you. And I'm not from that school. I've never been all right with that. So when I'm talking to him and he's giving me all these like lifelong gems about being focused on what it is I want to do and not letting certain things get to me and just staying focused on what I'm working on at hand. Every time you call him, he's the same level of cool.
Wow.
So I mean, the exact same. I told him he sounded like he walked straight out of one of those movies in the 70s. It's good, baby. Right. It's great. Everything is like, what could be a problem?
Right.
So when you adapt that attitude, it becomes easier to function and just stay focused on what it is you're working on. And that's something that I took from him immediately after two conversations.
Right. Hey, Monica, prove it. Can we call Smokey right now and see how cool he is?
He's cool as hell. I wouldn't put him on the spot. I would warn him and then let you hear him. He is so cool. Like, when I tell you, he picks up the phone and he's like, he'll tell me where he is and what's going on. Whatever you need me to do, I'm there. And I mean, and clearing things can be a headache. He made that so easy for us.
That's amazing.
So easy.
Speaking of Smokey, you have a collaboration with Timbaland. Love Ain't Enough. And the way he hitting this for set, I'm like, is he trying to get this Smokey Robinson on? Like, what was Timbaland doing in the studio? That's such a... When I saw Timbaland featured on the record, I wasn't expecting
that. You thought
that
he would be rapping?
Or something.
Yeah. I almost had to double check. I'm like, wait, wasn't this featuring Timbaland? Like,
that's him. I told him he was getting his Motown on, because he is definitely singing in his falsetto voice. But I love it because I come behind him pretty much almost like slightly yelling at him. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm singing it with passion, but it's almost to me equivalent to like an argument. We're going back and forth. So, I mean, that's one of my favorite songs on the album, because I think it's unexpected. Nobody was expecting him to be singing.
At all. I mean, what was it like in the studio with him? Like, does he just get in there and do it? Like,
oh yeah. That's the way he works when he feel it. And what I love about him is that he does not put out something he doesn't believe in. Mm. Like, this is the sound that he created on the album. He calls it opera noir. Mm. And he has specific feel that he wanted for it. And he really came to the studio. Carrie and I were in there a lot at the same time. And, of course, she signed to Polo, whom is my first cousin, but he also produced a lot of my record.
Yeah, yeah.
So we would just be in there working, like straight jam sessions, the old school way, getting to the music. Nobody else in, no one hanging out, all of us, musicians and artists working. And he came in to take a meeting with her, and he was like, you the one. I don't know how I didn't think of you, but I was supposed to walk in here and see you. And I asked him to explain, and he was telling me, I created this sound called opera noir and need somebody that can sing, but somebody that's still cool as hell, that people can relate to, that's going to get it. And we just started knocking out records.
Wow.
I even took some of the records back to Atlanta and knocked out more parts to them and wrote different things around them with a young lady named Jazzy. We would just sit down and come up with other ways to flip what he had already done.
That's crazy. So, mm-hmm. I mean, how long would you say that you spent working on this album in total? Because it was about a 2, maybe almost 3 year gap since your last album.
I would say about 2 years. Okay. I did everything at my pace. You know, I did it the way that we did my first two albums, which is we didn't think about dates. We didn't give labels or anybody a heads up, like, this is what we're doing. We just started working, and I did a lot of the music, you know, off of my relationships, the people that I really keep in contact with, that I pick up the phone and I call on a regular basis. And then I brought the music here, and they were just so pleasantly surprised and just got 100% behind me. Right. Because I did it that way. It made it very organic, and the music doesn't sound forced or rushed.
How do you balance, and Chris just mentioned too, you came off like 22 dates, that and family life? I mean, mm-hmm. because you're a very attentive mother, very present mother.
Yeah.
And you're there, and you know, your husband, I know he's injured. I know we're waiting for him to get back. So you take care of your family, but you know, you got a career too. How do you balance the career and the family? Because that seems like magic.
The easiest way is to prioritize, and once I did that and I let everybody around me know family is first, it made it a lot easier, because there is no choosing. There's no separating. That's just the way I choose to live, especially after what I was told. And I proved to them, and mainly to other moms, that you can still pursue your dreams when you have children. You just have to be strategic in how you handle the business and present in how you handle the family and the kids. I just want to always be ever present. And they were on the tour the whole time. So they were out there. The boys wanted to be on payroll. So I said, you know how you get on payroll, right? So they're like, yeah, you work. And right. we're going to pick jobs and we're going to work. So my 7-year-old was, he would come in, Mama, 10 minutes to showtime. Mama, where's your microphone? Mama, put your pack on. He was doing what my security normally does.
Right.
And then sweet. Rocco was actually working meet and greets,
okay.
taking passes, catching people if they sneak one or try to move. It was hilarious. But they wanted to get paid every day. So what they learned about payroll is it's either weekly or biweekly. They were not a fan of that, but they were happy in the end. But
did you take taxes out too?
No.
I told them, I said, I'll
let you experience that as an adult, but I will tell you this. If you don't pay Sam, you will get slammed. And they were like, oh, okay. Who is Sam? And I start breaking it down. So I keep them out here and keep them involved so they know that they never come second to what I'm doing. Right. I'm doing what I'm doing really for them so that they don't have to go through anything that I went through as a youngster. Mm. So it's like they feel that way. So they love being out here.
That's amazing.
Monica, I want to take it back a little bit to the music. You spoke about the Timbaland song being one of your favorite tracks off the album. One of my personal favorites, which I was a little shocked on, is Hustler's Ambition. The first reason is because from the title, I would think at least I was getting like the gangsta side of Monica. Because mm-hmm. we all know you have a little bit of that side. But it's then you hear it so and it's like... It's the complete opposite.
Yeah.
And there's a message behind it also, I feel like every entertainer or anybody in the entertainment industry can take away from. So explain the message behind that song.
Hustler's Ambition speaks to the side of us that pushes us to get out here. And you're hustling every day. If you're a real artist, you hustling every day. There are very few that can just drop a record and not even blink and it be successful, or drop a song, a single, and it be successful, no work behind it. We work from the second that we start creating until the point that it's in the stores and it's on the shelves and people are buying it. Or you're in the day, I might interview 20 or 30 times. Yesterday I sang twice on top of that. We did a meet and greet. And then you got to factor in, it's time to shoot all the covers for the magazines that want. So you're hustling at every second of the day. So Hustler's Ambition just says, I do this for my family, the ones that I provide for. You know, I know you're tired of being alone. You've been gone so long. And that just is like, it was so true for me when my husband was in season last year mm-hmm. and he wasn't able to be out with the kids and I while we were working and doing different things. And you know what that feels like to be apart from your family. So my thought was, everybody that's out living their dreams and trying to maintain family and their careers will get Hustler's Ambition, because you know what it is you're hustling for, but how does it really feel when you're home and you're alone? So we took a title that seemed real hard and showed you the softer side of how we really feel when we're going through it. So that was really the goal. Akon is very clever in the way that he writes and creates, and that was his goal.
And I haven't heard Akon on a record in a long time.
Yeah,
so
where you find Akon?
Crazy.
I feel like he get low sometimes and like he'll
that's because he
head
goes to other countries and kills it. Goes to other countries and I'll pull up something or he'll send me something and it's 100,000+ people singing these songs word for word, and a lot of them aren't even in English. So he's never not working. It's just sometimes not in the U.S. But believe it or not, Akon and I knew each other before music. Dallas always used Devine Stevens to choreograph and put our stuff together. So this was before we ever came out. He would put us in with him just to get me in the habit of being able to sing and dance at the same time. And Akon was his artist, so he was right there. So Akon and our friendship has spanned for almost 2 decades now. Mm. This is just the first time we've worked together.
What is it about? I mean, because you were emerging at a time when Atlanta was really cementing itself as the musical hub of not just hip hop, but of black music. Like mm-hmm. almost like if you think about it, the new Motown, you know, is in Atlanta. Like something could be hot. Like, yo, never before it used to be you had to come to New York. You had to do the run. You had to get hot. Like,
yeah.
No, you don't. what has just the evolution of Atlanta been like through your eyes? It's like people, didn't you go to, am I making this up, that you and 2 Chainz went to high school together?
We went to high school together.
Wow.
Like, uh-huh. And that's 2 Chainz.
I was in the ninth grade and he was in the 12th grade. So I was always outspoken. He was one of the first people I saw my first day in school. he was one of the first people I saw. Front two teeth gold. He had polo on from head to toe. And he just became my partner because he would really look out. You know, he really look out for me. And when my first day of school, he was like, "You're a pretty little thing. You keep to yourself. Go on, get to class." You know, because here he is at like 6'6" standing over me. And yeah. I went to school. I was 2 grades ahead. So I was a little girl. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And shortly after, I would say I was in school maybe 5 or 6 months before I had to come out and get a homeschool situation going so that I could travel and work just one of them days. But he was one of the first people I met, and he just instantly became, you know, a friend of mine, and it's always remained that way. Right. That's why I'm so proud of him. He's just, he's the consummate professional.
Yeah.
Even though he's like a rapper at heart, mm-hmm. but he really is a lyricist. As you listen closely to him, he's very smart. Very intuitive, and then his other business ventures just kind of let you know you wearing one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
now,
it's
I got the dabbing
Santa over there dabbing.
So what it was, I tell the funny story is, I mean, me and Chains did many interviews, have a great deal of respect for each other. I respect his pen, like as an MC, like I think he don't get enough credit for a rapper and the things he can say. So I saw the dabbing stuff, and somebody from Street Execs hit me and said, "Hey, Rob, what's your address? I want to send you one." So I was like, "All right, cool." Yeah, so I had one on the way. And then I saw on Instagram what he was doing with families and,
that's right.
and donating the money and really changing people's lives by just maybe buying a family a minivan so they can get around, or, you know, a vet who couldn't pay her rent. So he paid her rent for a year, you know. And I was like, and I hit my man up. I'm like, "Why'd you send me that for free? This is what y'all doing. I'm going to pay for it."
Yeah,
it was already in the mail. I missed it, but I bought two. I bought one for each of my kids, for each of my sons.
Yeah,
and I'm like, "Man, Christmas Eve when we go to Auntie's house,
that's
y'all
gonna
wear your dad and Santa suit. That's just gonna be your outfit."
Everybody needs to be wearing those for Christmas.
Yeah, it touched my heart because he giving back to where we from.
Right.
Like on top of going to school together, we from the same area. So it's like, I think the greatest connection, though, whether it's in our friendship or our music, if you separate us completely, is our family. His wife has been with him and stays beside him and runs the True Foundation and holds down their 3 children just like I'm holding down my 3 children. Wow. And my husband, he does it in Chicago. I do it in Atlanta. He Woodstar Fest and just giving back. If you don't bless other people, when you've been blessed the way we have, then to me, you take for granted everything that you have. You don't, how can you not get it? Especially for people like us that don't come from this lifestyle.
Right.
So I'm very proud of a lot of people from where I'm from.
Well, this goes back to my original question. Now to us, he's 2 Chainz.
Right.
To you, Tahi.
I refuse to call him Tit.
Like, but what I'm saying is, these are your friends. You're like, "Yo, yeah, I grew up with Akon, knew Akon before he was Akon. I went to high school with Chainz."
But Atlanta was like that. And one of the things, if you ever noticed, like when Jeezy, it was his anniversary, I want to say the 10-year anniversary, mm-hmm. all
classic
of us came
album.
Out. That's not the actions given to us from a publicist or mm-hmm. what we feel like is a good look. We don't care about a look. We support each other. We rock with each other tough, and we always have.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's something good or bad, or we up or down, we always come through for each other.
General
and I think that's what keeps our music thriving as well.
Right.
If you go to Chainz concert, Jeezy concert, Future concert, my concert, any of us, you gonna see the rest of us.
Right. That's why the A is so beautiful. Y'all support each other. My sister moved down there about 10 years ago, so I'm always there like two or three times a year.
Yeah, or like Tip, when he opens Scales, we go in Scales, we sit down, we eat, enjoy the best of food. If Tip got a concert, I'm calling Tamika and I'm going ASAP. It's just, we a family, and if you separate family, you're going to have problems. Division is going to create distractions, so there's no division.
Right, you were just telling me before we got in, that's what your business. Your kids are going out to the movies.
Oh,
right,
yeah,
right,
Tiny
now.
Taking them to the movies. Today was their holiday party at the school, so they're all going to the movies together. But she's their godmother, and she named my daughter. So, like I say, we family in real life, not for likes. Or
do you know that I have never been there?
Really?
Atlanta? Never in my life.
What?
We're gonna go to Atlanta. We're gonna go.
I need to make that happen. Yeah.
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 I have never.
And it's even better in the summer.
Yeah.
In the summer. So this summer, 2016 goals.
You mentioned your daughter too. She getting publishing checks now? Because she sets off the album, first of all.
Yeah.
I'm jealous because I meant to start the show just by saying, New Monica. Yeah. Your daughter beat me to it, man. She set off the album, man. She getting these publishing checks.
I told her. I said, this is huge, Ma. You on your first record ever is with Missy. Mm-hmm. My auntie Missy. I don't think she realizes, though, that Missy is one of the greatest of all time. I don't think she gets it because they see her one way playing. She got a movie theater in her house, so they like to go and raid her whole snack bar because it's got a full concession stand. Right. Like, they don't get it. Or my son is obsessed with her car collection. Like, but they don't get exactly who she is. Now, I think they get it kind of with me in a sense because they're on the road and they're at the shows, but I don't think they know, like, she is the next level. But she'll get it. She'll understand when she go back and like, man, I'm on a song with Missy.
That new record, Missy new single cracking too. They about to get it real soon.
Yes.
She did The Voice with Pharrell.
She did amazing on The Voice. And I always love how creative she is. Yeah. No one else is like that. No
one. At all. Chris, did you have any questions?
I wanted to ask you because we were speaking about your kids.
Yeah.
And you did a song just right for me with Lil Wayne. And you guys shot the video in Miami at his skate park, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was it like working with Lil Wayne? And I do know that you have a son who is kind of like
into the skateboarding. Yeah, he was giving me speeches telling me I got to let him ride. I got to let him. He was like, you know what? This keeps me focused. It keeps me out of anything else. He was like, let him do it. He was like, it's something that, yeah, he could get hurt. He said, I got a few war wounds, and he's showing me different stuff. He split his elbow wide open. I mean, because he takes it serious. He said, but the more you do it, the more you love it. And he was like, it frees my mind. It's the best thing ever. So I did tell him I would let him. I told him, you're going to have an instructor, though. We're not going to just get out here and just break a few limbs first and see how it goes.
Yeah.
So Rocco was pretty grateful because he knew at Wayne I had that conversation with me. He would not be riding around on that thing the way I let him do it now. But he's a boy. I try to let them, you know, get their war wounds and then, you know, let them know I'm here for them. But some of the stuff they want to do is just crazy. And my husband adds to it. He's already trying to jump out of a plane.
Right. Wow. I got a little bone to pick with you, though, Miss Thing.
What up?
Got a song on here called All Men Lie. Could you not?
Here's the thing.
Speak on
that.
That
song was created by a man. So y'all telling y'all own secrets. So if you got a bone, you got to find Tim and pick that thing with him. I just agree.
That is funny.
Yeah, I like it though because it definitely sets up almost like a battle of the sexes thing.
Oh yeah, because he's saying we lie too.
The worst lies, because a man would lie. Like you could tell when your man is lying, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
A woman would lie to you and you would never.
But that's because you don't pay attention. Yet another flaw of yours.
And
why
are
you going to turn it back on us?
See,
liar?
I can always flip it back.
I ain't trying to have no arguments with you.
You know a man's attention span is not what ours is.
Very short. I get my husband's attention best. We have the best conversations when I have nothing on.
Right.
That's a shame.
Facts.
I mean, the best. His attention span, like everything. I mean, eye contact is so intense. Yeah. Oh my God.
Everything's on point.
Wait. I mean, but y'all
could
met
you
at your music video.
Yes, we did.
So you said, you know.
We got married at the music video. Like, hi, how you doing? Nice to meet you. And then we had to pretend we were getting married. And then like 4 or 5 months later, we actually got married. It just was the right time, you know, and meeting somebody that enjoys the same things that I do, like family and just spending time with the kids. And when we travel, we alternate jumping on and off the road with each other. Like, I spend a lot of time out with the team as well. So it's all about meeting the one that's just right for you. That's why the song meant so much to me, because that really is how I feel. It's somebody for everybody. And whatever didn't work before, it's no hard feelings. It's just like you have to be with a person evenly yoked, as old people in the country say. You have to be evenly yoked.
That's what it is. Well, Monica, I can't tell you how much we appreciate your time.
No, thank you.
And your energy. Like, I really feel time and energy is the two most valuable things that mm-hmm. we have, even more so than money, because mm-hmm. you can't get it back. When mm-hmm. you waste your energy on somebody, it's gone. And time, you can't get it back. And you gave us both. And it's an honor to be sitting here with you. Like I said, I feel like we grew up together. I was in high school when you know, Don't Take It Personal came out. And
me too.
I was looking
Isn't
at
that
my,
weird?
It's I'm great. I think it's amazing.
That's Listen, crazy. Soul Gone helped me get over, you know, so.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
But me too. And I right. think yeah. that's what the connection is. I'm just singing about what I'm living, singing about what I've lived through as well, because it's not always been easy for me. But I think when I look back over the 20 years that I've been here, I'm so grateful for every single person that's ever given me a bit of their attention to listen to what I'm singing, or like you just said, their time, wow. their time, their energy, even their money. Because when you go and you buy a CD, you still give me a piece of you. And I'm hoping with the CD that you can feel a piece of me. So right. thank y'all. Thank y'all for coming today and even interviewing me. Thank you for repping. Santa is dabbing right across from me.
Santa.
I love it.
Dab is Santa. So listen, Code Red is in stores now. You can get that on iTunes. You get that at your local CD retailer.
We still
retailer.
Like hard copies,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I love
like
hard
that?
Copies. Yeah, because okay, yeah. I like reading
I'm
the credits.
I'm a little hoarder, okay. so I...
Yeah, but I don't, who knows where to find them. But go out there, go look for Code
Red.
Oh,
I'll tell you. Target.
There you go.
Best Buy. All the mom and pop stores still go there. Keep their doors open, too. I mean, they really... They're how a lot of us heard music in our community.
For sure.
So it's hard copies everywhere.
For sure. So go pick that up. Monica, thank you once again.
Thank you.
We look forward to seeing you again. Good luck with this album. And God bless. Happy holidays
thank
to you.
Thank you. Same to you. Come
Happy
to Atlanta.
Holidays. Oh. I know I will. We're going to make that happen. 2016 summer.
Wow. Yo, Chris. Monica just left the studio.
That was probably one of the dopest experiences, period, not just interviews, but
that was dope. And she was, it's just so crazy, it's because like it's somebody that we all grew up watching, you know, me, you know, I'm a little bit older than you, like I literally feel like, you know, I'm 35, she's 35, like we grew up together. It was just, she was on TV and I was living my life, and she always had those songs like that you would just relate to a relationship, even like Don't Take It Personal. Like I remember when you really liked the girl and she was ignoring you and you didn't know, da da da. Like that song kind of gave you some insight.
Yeah.
To what just girls go through.
I feel like even if, you know, you say you're the same age as her and everything, and, you know, myself, I'm a little younger, but I feel like even at my age, you know, anybody who's in my age bracket kind of growing up was also growing up on Monica. Like Monica's that type of artist where, like Usher. You know what I mean? Like Usher, even though he might be a little older too, there's youngins that still grew up on his music, whether they were a little late on it, but it's just that timeless music that sticks around still after.
For sure.
So it's like everybody grows attached to it. And I feel like if you don't know who Monica is, like you mentioned Monica's name and it's like Monica, like Monica, the R&B Monica, like,
Nah, that's dope, man. And she had to cut out, man. She's just around here working, like you see her, like she's really working this album, and it's refreshing to see. We had so many questions we didn't get to ask about The Boy Is Mine. Like I definitely wanted to ask about that, but even just what it was like recording that, because I know Brandy's one of your favorites,
absolute favorites. Shouldn't have asked her if she would ever put something new out with her.
Well, they did something for her last album. They came back and did another collaboration. Like they seem to be good. I think all of that like made up beef, like I saw another interview with her, but she's been saying this for years. There was no boy. They weren't fighting over anybody.
Yeah.
It's a song that was written for them to perform.
And that's media, too. But I feel like, you know, with Brandy, the whole, we spoke about her being on the train singing, saying, like, does anybody even notice, like, real R&B music anymore? Right.
Brandy should have came on the show. I ain't even mad. Brandy should have came on the show.
Yeah. That would have been dope if we had them both here.
Yeah. Well, not at the same time. That'd have been ill.
Could have been dope, yeah.
They did a couple of interviews together, though, on their last one, because they was really pushing that last single. But, we had a great year. Like, started off with Mac Wilde. Shout out to Mac. I mean, this whole thing started out as a debate, as we just wanted to figure out who was better, Boyz II Men versus Jodeci. And the fans really stuck it out with us throughout the whole calendar year. I mean, you know, we had Monica and Rico Love. They just went on tour together. Like, we had R. Kelly. We did Rice and Tiller. We did Tory Lanez, like, and then, you know, people that you never hear from, like Salaam Remy, was a great interview because he's just had his hands in so much. Jaheim, like, I just never think about it. When you sit back, I think around this time, towards the end of the year, like, we begin to reflect on what we did, and it's like, wow, we did a lot.
We really did do a lot, and I feel like, you know, we always have that joke where you go like, this episode's special, and I'm like, you say that every single episode, but, you know, the first couple episodes, it was cool, and it was like, then when certain people ask me, how long have you guys been doing this for? Like, you guys are new to this, right? And I'm like, yeah, we've only been doing this for like, and then I'm like, wait, we've put out like a nice, almost 30 episodes, you know what I mean? And that's every week that we do this, so... I think the range of artists that we've been able to have on the show has been amazing.
And we just couldn't do it without, like, again, with the people listening every week. And then the people who really support us. Like, I don't think we say it enough. Like, shout out to Samir, who holds us down every week. And Lee, who fills in. And just the whole Loudspeakers Network, you know, really holds us down. Combat Jack, Reggie, Chris. Premium P, Tax Stone, Charlemagne. I remember when we first started this podcast, like, I hit Charlemagne, like, yo, I met with Chris Morrow, is he cool? Charlemagne was like, nah, man, he's A+, bro. Like, yo, you should do it. So Charlemagne really, you know, pushed us forward. And shout out to Joe Budden, too, for always supporting. I always say that Joe kind of helped push us in this direction, especially me, like,
after doing the podcast,
feeling like I want to do it, even though Joe fucked up and still ain't finished that R&B bracket. What up, bro? You should come next year. Let's finish the R&B bracket. You come to the Red Light Special. You, Marissa, we bring out Imani, we bring out Rory, and we finish this R&B bracket, man. We do what we supposed to do, man.
Yeah. Because a lot of people have been hounding you down for that, actually.
Yeah, it ain't me. It wasn't my show. It was Joe's show. And I only found out the night before. Rory was like, yo, you want to do this R&B bracket? I didn't know what he's talking about. I thought, you know, I was like, fuck it, let's do
we
it.
We should do it on RLS again. We should create a new bracket, first of all. Because it seems like that bracket was just very extensive.
It wasn't. The bracket wasn't even done. Like, I don't think we cemented stuff in. But we'll speak to Joe about it. And before I go any further, too, just Biscuit. Mm-hmm. You know, Biz always supporting us. This is R&B. Jamie at This Is R&B supports us every week. The people at Plain Cut support us
Shout out to
every
Dennis.
Week.
He's always showing support. And S-Wit, too.
Yeah, S-Wit for sure. And Sway and Nikki Jeezy. Oh, man, Sway's Universe post us. And their whole team over there, like, really shows us a lot of love. Some I wanted to get into. Because I know we have a relationship question, too. We didn't
get to.
Yeah, we didn't get to ask Monica, but we're still going to get it on the air. I know I'm not Monica, and, you know, Kristen is Miss Thing, but she ain't the Miss Thing, Monica. You know, so, but we're going to give you the best advice we can. But, yo, have you been peeping what's going on with TGT broke up?
Yeah, I heard. So I heard. Everybody's been posting a funny video. I don't know what interview they were doing, but it seems like they were not on page together. Yeah. It's a really funny video. A lot of people listen probably saw it all over Instagram, but it's where lip syncing goes wrong.
Well, I'm going to read Tyrese's message. He says, I'm sorry to break the news. TGT is done. It's not about fault. Business is business. Me and Tank are still moving. We will forever love our brother G as brothers. We got too much history to turn this into anything negative. Even 112 are still together. Next, Drew Hill is still together, and Troop and New Edition. It's only three of us, and we did one album. It was epic, and now it's over. We've been forced to start looking into someone else. So he's saying that they might pull in a third.
Yeah.
Well, me and T just might do a solo. Well, if you and T did it, it's not solo, bro. Yeah, I'll be a duo. But I get you, Tyrese. The reason it worked is because of our history and mutual respect. I don't know. I'm just shocked and disappointed that I'm even putting up this post. Three Kings no more, but I guess LSG only made one album. Damn. So that was Tyrese. Wow. So then Genuine comes and claps back. Did you see Genuine?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so Genuine posted on his Instagram.
Let's hear this.
At Tyrese. Wow. Really, to post personal business? Shit is a pussy move. And use the N-word. Why would you do that? And since you want to do that, keep it going, and we'll expose all diva. Let's get it. Jeez. Also, this is just one sentence, so I'm sorry. I could read. It's just it's a little weird reading. There's no periods or commas in any of this. Be a fucking man, not a little boy. Talk to me. Call. Don't try and manipulate the situation publicly. Whack, 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 whack of you.
Whack. Three whacks?
Three whacks. Exactly why it is the way it is. So, oh, man. First TGT breakup. Every day I wake up, somebody got a problem with Hov.
Damn, it's Jesus, a lot man. Of tension there. Yeah, I don't know. See, I don't know that.
I can't call. Listen, yo, Tyrese, we reached out to Tyrese to have him on the show. Hopefully, we'll make it up. But come on, man. And we've been speaking to Tank's people. Let's make it happen. Let's see if we could come to a peaceful resolve and get all three of them up on the red light special and hash out their differences. Like, man, we don't want the drama. We want y'all to come through and just hash out y'all differences. Let us know if y'all down. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Nah, man. So let's get to that relationship question, man, because I just want to dial into that.
So I know you were saying, like, you're not Monica, but you are a writer. You are a journalist. And somebody wrote us about having issues with writing. So I feel like maybe you could chime in a little bit with this one and help her out. She said, I'm having some issues with writing lately, and having my boyfriend around doesn't help much. He's a bit of a distraction, honestly. I don't really know how to get rid of this writer's block, and it's stressing me out. So she's pretty much, I don't know if she's like a music writer or, you know, whatever kind of writer she may be, but she's having issues, I guess, finding like inspiration, or, you know, we've all been there where right. You kind of have like that writer's block. I don't know if you ever get that when you're writing.
I used to in the beginning. I don't get much writer's block anymore. Usually when I sit down to write about something, I've thought enough about it where this sounds crazy and this is just me. You know how Jay-Z says that he writes rhymes in his head?
Mm-hmm.
Like, at least when I'm writing articles and reporting, like, a lot of that is written in my head. Like, I can, like, freestyle the first paragraph, like, in my head, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? But that's just my process, and everybody's process is different. So
what about in the beginning when you said you did get writer's block?
I would just write it out. Like, well, there's two things that was going on. I mean, personally, in my life, when I was getting writer's block, I would just write and write and write and just write my way out of it. But, you know, my approach a lot of times is just put your head down and do the work. So I'll write a whole bunch of bad stuff until the good stuff eventually comes out. What she is talking about sounds like a little something different, because it sounds like she can pinpoint the problem and it's with the guy that she's with,
right?
You know, whether it's true or not, what she feels stifled by whatever her relationship is, and if that's a cause of the writer's block, that may also be a cause of bigger problems, like what's going on in the relationship. Like, anybody that you're with or in a relationship with should inspire you, hopefully. And
as opposed to distract you and bother you, yeah.
Yeah. Or stifle you in some type of way. Like, he might not even be doing it intentionally. Maybe it's, you know, I don't know. I'm just guessing. Like, maybe it's he's always around, and maybe she needs to be alone to write. Or maybe, you know, everybody has their own different quirks. I will be open and honest with him about it. I'm not sure what writing career you have, if it's songwriting, journalism, or something like that. But if it's something that you're serious about, and the relationship is something that you're serious about, you just got to be open and honest with them and be, you know, maybe I can't write when you're around, or, you know, maybe you need a break, or you have to decide what's more important to you, the relationship or the career. And then, not that you necessarily have to choose, but you have to communicate, like, this is what I'm trying to do. You know, if you can help me out, maybe they need a break or their own separate space. I don't know.
So, because what I would have suggested was, you know, if you have a distraction wherever you're trying to write, find somewhere else to write. Has that ever worked for you? Like, I know a lot of people like to go to like Starbucks, mm-hmm. and get their work done, or they'll go to the library where it's like super quiet, you have no distractions. Do you feel like places like that work for you, or
sometimes? Yeah, like, definitely, like, the environment that you're in, like the physical place that you're in, can have an effect on just writing and I think your creativity. Like, I remember there were places, like, I absolutely couldn't write, or if there were people around, like certain people around, like, I couldn't write because I just couldn't concentrate. I just wasn't in that frame of mind. So, you know, it might be just blocking out time. Like, everybody has phones with calendars on it. Like, really block out your time for yourself and go write and find you a place that inspires you. And, you know, hit them with the moniker if anything else. Just tell them it's just one of them days. Don't take it personal and go out and do your own thing. And hopefully the both of y'all will be greater for it.
Fair enough. thought that would be a good question to kind of get your input on.
Yeah.
Because I don't write much.
Yeah.
I should write more, but I don't write much. I've been thinking about getting into, like, actually writing. I don't know if I want to start writing, like, scripts,
right,
or just, like, scenes in my head. You know what I mean? Like, things that inspire me to, like, maybe put into a short film or stuff. But we'll see.
Okay. And I feel like I can't speak for Monica. I feel like Monica would have gave the exact same answer that I gave. So you didn't hear from her, but I feel like she'd have co-signed that 100%.
I think it's all about energy at the end of the day. Like, yeah, you have to be in a good place, good state of mind, and things will come. You just got to find some inspiration.
Right. For sure, man. It's been a busy one. Chris Brown just dropped his new album. I didn't get to listen yet. Did you get to listen to any of Chris Brown's album yet?
I haven't. There's been so much music coming out.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I'm still trying to get through the Chris Brown mixtape with 34 tracks. but we got a lot to listen to over the break. So, mm-hmm, you know, we're going to go digest this music and we're going to come back 2016 with just like fresh energy, fresh guests, and really just, again, like we come to this podcast with love, a love for the music, love for R&B, and we're going to keep championing that and the same way you guys keep championing us, which is amazing. I feel like I'm forgetting something. Oh, you know what I'm forgetting? Because we're going to be off the air for a couple of weeks. You, Me, Him, and Her comes out December 30th.
December 30th, You, Me, Him, and Her. Al Patron, who was in the...
He was in our last episode.
...studio just the week ago. And, yeah, definitely check for it. Minotti was also here, so we had him share a couple words with us. Shout out to Joe. Joe plays my father in the film, which is going to be really exciting. He's a really, really funny guy.
Right.
And everybody else working on it, yeah.
All right.
It'll be exciting. I think the reason I'm so excited for it is because I feel like we all grew up on Martin.
Right.
And this is very much similar to that. So this is like the closest thing to. And of course, Al is very inspired by Martin. It's his favorite show. So it's going to be good, you know?
Right. No, looking forward to it. Congratulations. I know you've been working on it for a long time throughout the duration of the year. Plus, as long as we've been doing this podcast, you've been working on it. We've been hesitant to talk about it much because you'd like to see the outcome rather than constantly talk about it. And
yeah,
now it's here. Now we got something to talk about. So we'll watch that movie, probably break it down when I know I'll have some questions after I've seen it.
I'm sure everybody
and we come
will
back in the new year. But yeah, man, check it out. Support Chris. She doesn't just only do the RLS podcast. She's out here doing her acting thing. And as always, you know, check me out on Genius. Over here, we do the R&B thing, Genius. We do all music, but I have a really really good interview I'm proud of with Pusha T that's making the rounds now. So shout to Push.
Really making those rounds.
Yeah. I don't know. We just talking about lyrics. The funny thing is, man, we just talking about lyrics. So shout to Push and his album, King Push, Darkest Before Dawn. Had a pleasure working with him. And I don't know. That's it. I think there's nothing less to say except Jake and Papa, take us out. Starless. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
Happy holidays, everyone. And thank you for listening every week. We appreciate every single one of you guys.
Peace.